Blog Talk Radio. From Insanity to Sane Radio, featuring Ms. Barbara Archer, thank you for tuning in to another anointing broadcast where you will be inspired and God be exalted throughout the earth. We come live every Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please send all inquiries at frominsanitytosane.com. The next voice you hear will be Ms. Barbara Archer.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to another broadcast for Insanity to Sane. Thank you so much for your continuing support of the ministry as I continue to bring you forth each and every week a word of encouragement and inspiration that will inspire you to become all that God has created you to be. This morning, we're going to go straight into an interview that I'm very excited about, and I have a very special guest with me this morning. But before we get started, I always like to open up the floor with prayer. So we're just going to enter into God's presence this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day that you have given us, and we just honor that you have chosen us to be a part of your plan for our lives this day. And Father, we just give everything to you. And I know some may be traveling, going to work, or they may be traveling, they may be stuck in snow, they may be experiencing different things in their lives right now. But Father, just let them know that you are in control and nothing happens without you knowing about it. And I just pray that you will bless your people this day. And I pray, Lord, that whatever needs that may be represented in the lives of your people, Father, that you will supply their needs accordingly to your riches and your glory. And we just give this broadcast to you, Father, because it's not about me, it's not about my guests, it's about you being glorified. And Lord, we just give you all the praise. We will ever forgive you all the glory and all the honor that is due to your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm very blessed to be here today. I have a very special guest in the studio, like I mentioned. I received the press release maybe 6 weeks ago, and I was very intrigued because my guest, she's featuring Paul's letters to the early church, and I always found Paul to be a very interesting person, you know, and she's going to be talking about a little bit about Paul's letters as she has just came out with her book. She's the author of Christian Living Bible Study Series, which provides insightful books to assist believers and non-believers to understanding Scripture and drawing closer to God. So I believe that this book is not just for the Christian, but for the non-Christian as well, and I believe everyone can be blessed. So please help me welcome to the platform this morning, Trina, and I'm hoping that I pronounce your last name correct, Trina. Matos?
It's Bresser Mattis.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Bresser Mattis is
okay.
My last name.
All right,
name.
I just ripped your name completely, didn't I?
That's,
please
that
forgive
is okay.
Me. I do apologize.
No worries.
All right. Well, thank you. You're just so sweet. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me this morning in the studio. And like I said, I'm very excited for you to be here today. And as you share with us, the Apostle Paul write to the Galatians, and I'm just very excited because I know sometimes Paul, he used sarcasm, I know myself, to achieve his goals and practical instructions for James and Peter and Jude to convey to a living Christian life, and what does favoritism have to do with it anyway? So explain to us a little bit about you and your book, the Christian Living Bible Study Series, and I guess I'm wanting to know what really prompted you to write such a magnificent book and have a series about it as well.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for your invitation to be with you today. I am blessed to be here. This series came out of, really, this whole journey has been about God opening doors, and I did not set out to write a book. Several years ago, about 11 years ago, we had a new pastor, and he decided to start a Read Through the Bible in a Year program that the entire church was encouraged to participate in. About a year into the program, I was asked by one of the associate pastors if I would write a series of notes that would accompany the daily readings. So I agreed, and the first year I wrote through the Old Testament, and the second year I wrote through the New Testament, and the notes were really well received. They asked me to do that, because to write the notes, because we had a lot of newer people reading the Bible, and they were reading it and not really understanding. So So these notes included background information, definitions, explanation of ancient cultural practices, cross-references to other applicable scripture, historical context, and then modern-day application. And they were very well received. They were used in my church for probably about 5 years until we stopped doing the program. In the meantime, my husband and I attended a writers' conference, and it happened to be, we didn't, either one of us really know about writers' conferences. We just had received an advertisement in the mail, decided to go. I met a publisher who was very interested in the notes, and I turned those into him, ended up with a contract. And we decided to disassociate the notes from the reading plan and to break both the Old and New Testament up into individual books so that they were more affordable, easier to use, a better size. So the first book that was released was Paul's Letters to the Early Church. A second book has been released, and that is the Epistles of James, Peter, and Jude. And the balance of the books will be released in coming months. So that's my journey. It really has been about God opening doors and just stepping through the next door, not really seeing where this whole thing was going. I never thought when I was originally asked to write the notes that I would end up with a series of books.
All right. Wow. You know, so I guess I'm wanting to know, and everyone else is wanting to know as well, you know, with all of your findings, you know, I mean, you put it together in a very easy-to-read format, you know, because sometimes I feel that some people may not read the Bible like they should because sometimes it is very confusing. And some people feel that even the Bible can be contradictory in certain ways. You know, you may read it in one text and it says this, but then in another it says something different, you know. So in your findings, did you find that to be so, and that really helped you to really put something together that would be able to help people to understand, to want people to read the Bible, you know, because sometimes we don't read it because we feel it's we can't understand it and it doesn't make sense to us, you know. So is that also part of your motivation as well, to bring something that would be readable for all ages, regardless of where you're at in life?
Yes, for sure. I had in my church been teaching some Bible studies, and I think that people appreciated the explanation that I was able to give that just made the Bible scripture very approachable. It can be, depending on who we listen to or who we read, you can get very technical about the Bible and the Hebrew and the Greek and how this verb is used this way and it's not used anyplace else in the Bible. And it can all just be all very intellectual. And I tried to really bring it down to a much more basic level that connects as much with the heart as with the head, so that as people would read through Scripture and then through the accompanying notes, they would gain a better understanding of what God was really trying to say through that Scripture. And not that it was just something that was written 2,000-plus years ago, but something that was written that is really timeless and applies over all cultures and all times, and that there really is something of value that we can gain from it today.
Right. Amen. You know, so tell us a little bit about Paul's letters to the early church. You know, help us to understand what Paul was trying to convey to the early church, to the early Christians, you know, in that time, you know, versus how James and Peter and Jude all came into play after that. But just help us to understand, you know, the letters to the early church and what was that message that Paul was trying to give in that time that we can apply today in 2015.
Paul, as you have mentioned, is a very interesting character. He started off as a persecutor of Christians. He really was adamant in his Jewish beliefs. He believed that Jesus was not part of those beliefs. He wasn't the Messiah. And he was out to really stamp out this new belief system that was emerging after Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And it wasn't until he had an experience directly with Christ, as you know, on the road to Damascus, where he really encountered Christ, and his beliefs changed 180 degrees. He went from persecuting those who wanted to follow Christ to really encouraging people and telling people why Christ was the Messiah. And so we see through Paul's letters this continual information sharing and setting out arguments that present Jesus as the Messiah and why he fulfills Scripture and what it is that he brings to our lives that nobody else could, and how God had planned for him to come long before any of us were around. So Paul is really, through each of his letters, he's laying out the argument. He's encouraging people. He's dealing with objections. And he just is very, he would have been a great person to know, I think, personally, because he was just so focused on Jesus, and he just committed the balance of his life to sharing the truth that he saw as very freeing and liberating from many of the oppressive beliefs that were popular at the time. And his writings today still can have the same effect. They can just be so freeing. We have very often today we get a very legalistic religious sense of what it is that we need to do in order to please God and to be worthy of gaining entrance into heaven. And in the end, there's nothing that we can do. It is all about what God has done for us. And I think Paul just really lays that out and encourages us to let go of all those things that we think are drawing us closer to God and really are setting up a barrier, and to just trust in God's love and grace and mercy for us that ultimately draws us to him.
Okay, so you would think, so you would say that Paul wanted to share with us, you know, that, you know, you can't do certain things to gain entrance into heaven. You know, it's not a religion. It's not certain things. And I believe sometimes even people in the church can sometimes believe they still have that religious mentality, you know, that, all right, if I do certain things, you know, if I read my Bible, if I do this and I do that, this is going to gain you entrance into heaven, you know. And it's not. You know, you do these things because you love God and you want to know him, and to know him is to know his word, you know. But if you have to do certain things over and over again to make it work, that can justify it being more of a cult than anything else. Would that be your perspective as well, as far as what Paul was trying to get us away from, not doing so many things in a religious sense, but a relationship?
Yes, definitely.
Okay,
And we see it in
that's
his
what
writings
I was.
When...
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We see that in his writings when he was directly addressing what he called the Judaizers, those who were really pushing the Jewish faith and the physical things that they felt were required to be right before God, such as circumcision. Paul took that whole issue to the early church, to James and and Peter and the other leaders of the church at the time, and they came away with, no, you don't need to do things. It's really about the relationship with Jesus that restores our relationship with God the Father. So he definitely combated those religious things that are done just in the name of religion and not to really draw us into relationship with God the Father.
Right. Amen. Amen. Now, you have also traveled, over to the Holy Land, Israel, and you've taken trips over there as well into Turkey and, other areas in that region. You know, was that actually part of your study that was equipping you for the books that what you wrote? Or was this just an area in your life that you just wanted to travel to the Holy Land to actually experience it and to walk in places that Jesus walked during that time?
The quick answer is no, I didn't take the trips as research for the books, although they did have an impact on the books themselves. I was in seminary at the time I took my first trip to Israel. I was able to take it for class credit, and so it wasn't very difficult to convince my husband that this was a good trip, and he came along, and he just fell in love with being in those places where Jesus was and seeing the actual sites, and put together then a second trip for our church members to go and see the same sites. So one trip happened before I had started writing. The second trip happened partway through, I believe. The trip to Turkey was actually my honeymoon trip with my husband, and we stopped at biblical sites while we were there. What all of those trips did is really bring the scriptures alive for me in a new way.
Okay.
It's easy sometimes, I think, to read scripture and to read about particular sites, Pergamon and the seven churches in Revelation, Ephesus and those other places. And just, we don't have a visual of where they are. And so they just are kind of stories about things that, well, maybe they happened, but we just picture them more as stories. What going to those sites did is really made the stories real, to be able to say, this is Ephesus, this is where Paul preached to the crowds, this is where he traveled through, just made it wasn't a story any longer, it was an actual historical event, and it just brought things alive in a new way, to be able to visualize Paul actually standing in the amphitheater where he preached to the Ephesians and where he encountered their objections, made it, it's hard to describe, but just brought it, made it more real and being able to visualize that this was a real man who was speaking to real people who had concerns and objections and beliefs that we encounter today. So for me, it took it out of the realm of, just a historical event that may or may not have taken place to an actual event that has application even to me today.
Right. That would, to me, that would be the most amazing trip ever, to be able to travel in the same path Jesus walked and his disciples and even the apostles, To me, that would be just the ultimate trip, and I have not been there yet, but I'm believing that one day I'm going to make it there and I'm going to take that trip because I know it's going to be a life-changing event in my life, and I feel that every Christian, even non-Christians, can really get something from a trip like that. But tell us a little bit about your findings as far as with James and Peter, because they were part, I call them, the Fabulous Four. That's my definition of them, And it's like, it was like the dream team in a sense, So I like that part of it. But tell us a little bit about some of your findings, even with James and Peter and Jude, how the writings actually was able to convey that in your book that what you wrote about Apostle Paul and the early church, because James and Peter and Jude, they all played a part of that as well in the early church. So what I'm asking is, what was the direct message that they carried after Paul, because it's like Paul set everything up in play, and then it was like, you know, then they came on the scene and they continued on that exact same journey as well. So how did it all tie together in that message to the early church?
They each of those authors had something unique really to tell the church. I think about Peter and the his incident that's recorded in Acts, where he was very set in what God had laid out earlier in the Old Testament about what animals he could eat and what animals he couldn't eat. And he had the vision in which he was to eat the unclean animals, and he was really protesting to God that he didn't want to do that. And God was telling him, no, I am saying it's okay. I am saying that it is good and that you are too. And that he really, we know that that was a symbol of his going then to speak to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, who the Jews at the time believed were not the chosen people of God and therefore would not experience salvation. We know that God had other plans. And so we see now Peter being very practical in the way he talks and the way he presents, and that he, although his ministry primarily was to the Jewish people, God gave him the experience so that when Paul came back again about the issue of circumcision and some of the other issues that they had to deal with at that time, that they were able to come to a consensus and say, you know, this really is about the relationship that we have with Christ and the path that Christ has opened for us, rather than about what the things are that we do. And so I just see Peter being very practical. James is one of my favorite because what he shares is just so applicable to what we find today. He talks a lot about favoritism and not favoring people. It's so easy in our culture to judge based on first impressions. And so we see someone well-dressed and we think well of them, and we see something that someone in shabby clothes, and we immediately have this vision of, oh, you know, they don't have it together. They aren't as smart or intelligent or wise. And James was saying, no, you know, none of that. Everybody is equal before God's eyes, and we are to embrace everybody equally. And it, as we have the opportunity to apply that, speaking for myself, I just found it very interesting when I allow people to be people without my judgments. There are some very wise people that on first look you would discount, and sometimes some very foolish people that on first look you would think, oh, that guy's got it all together, and then you find out that they really have some foolish thoughts and attitudes and things like that. So I just love the realistic approach that James takes to life and to dealing with people and dealing with the situations that we encounter.
Amen. You know, it seems like that all of them, they had their own very unique personality in their own unique way of relating to other people, you know. And do you feel that that's something that what God even does today, as far as with each of us, we all have our own unique way, and the way that each and every one of us are created, you know, we're going to be able to reach certain people based upon our own unique personality. You know, so, you know, that's what I sense, you know. And then my second question to you will be, is that when you was talking about Peter, you know, and how God, you know, spoke to him about, okay, I want you to go and minister to the Gentiles, but he told him not to eat certain, you know, that he can't eat, you know, certain foods. And I believe a lot of that can be contradictory to some people when they read it, because in one context, God is telling him this. But then in another context, in Matthew 15 and 11, it says, it's not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of his mouth that defiles a man. So when you read that context, you can see, all right, so anything that I put in my mouth should be okay. You know, but I think that some people get it confused because they're not reading it in the right content. At that particular time, there was a particular message that God wanted to convey. So based upon that, do you feel that that is why sometimes people can read the Bible out of context and they just read what they want to read because it may apply to their situation at that exact time?
Yes, for sure. It is easy to take verses out of context and to see a verse that we think supports a position that we have, but if we really read the context, the verses before and after, the context of the book, we see that really the verse doesn't support what we're trying to put forth. So definitely context is worth reading. There are a lot of people who oppose Christianity and oppose the Bible who point to the contradictions in Scripture. And again, if you take one verse against another verse, you can often find what you think are contradictions. But if you look at the greater context, I really think that the Bible is a unified whole and we don't see really any contradictions. We have in the Old Testament God saying that some animals were clean and could be eaten, other animals were unclean and could not be eaten. But when we put that in the bigger picture of what God was ultimately doing, we can see that that really was an analogy for later who God would be calling, that at the time the Jewish people were his called people who were to go out to the nations and witness to God. They were not terribly successful at doing that. God knew that they wouldn't be successful and sent Christ as the Messiah and Savior. And so when we see Peter with this vision that he has from God of eating the unclean animals and Peter not wanting to do that, we also see that God is really communicating. He's not exclusive. He was exclusive for a time only because the Jewish people were to be his witnesses. When they failed to do that, God sent the Savior who would then draw all people, Jew and Gentile. And this vision of the unclean animals being now permitted by God for the Jewish people to eat was really a symbol that he was calling all people to him, and that there was no exclusivity in his eyes. It was all people were equal.
Right, yes. And that's what the message is all about, you know, that every last one of us, you know, that God wanted to bring all nations together, you know, and I believe that Paul, you know, he really set out on that course for that, you know, and Peter, and they all played a very important role. But are there any type of commentaries or any type of Bible study books that you would suggest to the believer that, and even I think so, even much to the believer, because so often, you know, we read, but we don't really read the actual content. So is there any commentaries that you would suggest that people can actually get their hands on so that they can really study, so that reading the Bible can be fun instead of like a chore?
Sure. There are a number of commentaries, and I used several as I wrote through the Bible, through the notes. One of the studies, this is less a commentary and more of a study, but Nancy Guthrie has done a series that I just have been really enthralled with, where she looks at how Jesus was present in the Old Testament. So the one of the books is Jesus in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and then Jesus in the historical books. And just has really opened my eyes to how God was foreshadowing through the entire Old Testament that Jesus was coming, and where we see Jesus in the Old Testament and how he then in the New Testament really fulfills what God was foreshadowing in the Old Testament. A lot of people shy away from the Old Testament because God appears to be more wrathful and is less, they often think, a less approachable. I have found that this series of books has really shed great light on the New Testament and really brings the Old and the New Testament together as a unified whole. So that would be one series that I could recommend.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We're all out of time. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring Trina back onto the platforms because I would like to go into more depth with her regarding her findings and her book as well for the Christian living. So we're going to have her back onto the platform again. And thank you so much for tuning in to another broadcast from Insanity to Sane. I'll be coming back this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an incredible interview with gospel artist Nyoki. She'll be in the studio this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So until then, be blessed and enjoy your day. And just remember that God loves you with an everlasting love. And we'll see you next week. And you take care. And that's all from Insanity to Sane. Goodbye.